are you calling bums, pal?
You.
Randy.
Listen, we got two more of us in the back seat. Pity the back seat. If you're
Stop
looking
it.
For a fight.
I am looking for a fight.
Come on, put
Let's
the
go.
Down.
Come on, right now.
Come
right
on.
Now.
So you guys playing Mike Kratz, huh?
No.
What are you doing here? Give me those cards, will you? Guys ever play 52 pickup?
Yeah.
What? Hey, don't get wise. I don't like little kids. I don't like them. I just...
Now we're up.
Okay.
Good? Don't knock your phone over.
Yeah,
we're good now.
It's good now.
All right. Good shit. Yeah. Episode 12 of Mission Statements, a Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team podcast with my new two friends over here, which is very cool. It's crazy to me because, all right, well, you're not a woman, so you shouldn't get offended. How old are you guys?
52.
51.
All right, I'm 47. And when I was a little kid, I grew up watching The Outsiders.
Right.
So I like feel like I know you guys as little kids since sure. I was like five when I first saw the movie. So fast forward 42 damn years.
Yeah.
For me to be sitting here talking with you two guys is very weird, but very cool at the same time, you know?
Yeah, it's been a big thing since Danny started that museum.
We're going to get into that. I figured that, man. So yeah. Billy and Chris Wagoner, that's right, now you say it, right?
Yes.
All right, because I know a lot of people say Wagoner, but it's Wagoner.
It's Wagoner, yeah.
That's how Danny pronounces it.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's trying to point out anybody, but all right.
Yeah.
Put Danny Boy on blast.
Yeah.
Nice. What's going on, fellas?
Enjoying a Friday, about it.
Yeah, same here. Hectic ass Friday, couldn't wait to get the hell out of work. I work in the middle of New York City, like in the middle, like four or five blocks from Times Square, like right in the heart. And getting home was a shit show today with the subway and everything. It was like, all I want to do is end the week and go home and bullshit on the podcast. But it was like... But I finally ran in the door. I threw my ass in the shower real fast, and here we are. Yeah, so are you guys, all right, like I said before we started recording, I really don't have questions, so these questions might be corny and stupid because they're just popping in my head right now. So now, the scenes that you were in, if people don't know about the movie The Outsiders at this point, like you need to study your lessons and smarten up a little bit. But I grew up on it. Obviously, there's been a huge resurgence of it thanks to Danny Boy. And so that scene where Matt Dillon, you know, say, did I say you guys could play in my grass? You know, that whole scene, I know that was filmed in two different locations, which I didn't realize until about a month and a half ago when I was in Tulsa. Danny brought me to the two spots. Now that was both, one was filmed in Sperry, which is the original portion where it looks like it all takes place. But are you guys from Sperry or Tulsa? Where do you guys grow up?
We actually lived in a neighborhood where the house is. That's where we grew up. They had their offices down there at our old elementary school. So that's where it was.
In North Tulsa?
Yes. Yeah, we lived on Utica, which is just three blocks from the house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we grew up over there.
Okay, that's cool. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn knucklehead over here. But when I was in Tulsa, man, say, I don't know, I've spoken on the last several podcasts about it, so I'm not going to get crazy into it, because the episode that dropped where I was the actual guest, I spoke for 3 hours about this crazy road trip that I went on.
Right.
And one of the stops was obviously was Tulsa. That's Delta Bravo headquarters, you know?
Sure.
So, yes. So it was long overdue for me to go there. Plus, even before the whole Delta Bravo thing and whatever, like I said before, I grew up watching The Outsiders. It's one of my favorite movies. My daughter, she turns 13 this weekend, but when she was like 5 or 6, I turned her on to the movie. So she's growing up watching it and all this. I just sent her a Snapchat that I'm about to record with the 52 Pickup Kids. She's like, wow, that's awesome. You have famous friends, Dad. It's funny shit. But yeah, man. So what was I saying? See, I run off. Once I got, and I stayed overnight at the Greaser hideout and, across the street. And right. It was so cool just walking around there, because I didn't realize, obviously, as a little kid, you don't realize, and anyone who watches the movie who hasn't been there, how a lot of that stuff is like within like 2-3 blocks of the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it is. Sure is.
Yeah, we used to play basketball, man, down there at the Crutchfield Park where Matt Dillon got shot or whatever. But all of us kids that grew up in the neighborhood.
That, man, was our park.
That was our park, man. We played basketball 3-on-3, 5-on-5, just neighborhood kids. You know, that was our spot. And then they came through and made this, you know, started making the movie and stuff. And, yeah, man, we grew up in it. We used to bounce around the neighborhood, all of our friends. And, you know, it was kind of ghetto back then, you know, but still yet, that's where we grew up, and we love that place. I cannot wait. Every time I go through Tulsa or whatever, I have to stop there even before Danny started the stuff. And now, I mean, man, it's just, it brings, you know, brings back childhood memories.
Of
you know,
course.
Yes, sir.
Now it's gone. Is there like a sprinkler or something that's going on around
there? No, it's a locust. We're outside.
I know you're outside. I'm like, what is that? That's a damn. All right, no, that's like. All right, I'm in Oklahoma right now. It's fucking low.
Yeah, he quit now. So
yeah, my dog.
It's like, a sprinkler. I didn't know what that was. It's all good, man. I was just curious. But yeah. So it's like, yeah, that was obviously that was where Johnny stabs the Soch and all that stuff, and it was pretty crazy because me and my girl, we walked, and I was just like, you know, doing this stuff. I mean, you guys are familiar with the whole thing that we do with the locations all over the place. So just to be like on, like, it's almost like I feel like I'm on the set of that movie, you know, 40 something years later, you know, walking around Crutchfield Park.
Well, we watched a lot of it being filmed. So when the movie come out, it wasn't magical like it is to other people, to us, because we've seen it, you know.
Of course not. Yeah.
But yeah, we was there all the time. I mean, we live 3 blocks from there, so we down there all the time.
Well, they had that block party. I don't know if you remember, but they had this big old statue. I remember as a kid, it said the Outsiders, and had all this fruit, and you remember the ice statue and stuff. Yeah, and then the cool deal, I mean, not cool, but I mean, like, there's a bunch of extras, I guess you could say. But when they filmed it, a lot of them got cut other than me, you, and Bryce. Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty cool, man. I mean, and after all the years, like, since Danny started this and all this stuff, I'm like, I was in Corpus Christi working, bro, and my son called me, and he's like, Dad, we're doing the Outsiders in Oklahoma City, and he said, we're reading the book, da-da-da, and I told my teacher, you was in the movie, you was a 52-car pickup kid, and the teacher looks at him and says, Logan, you got to quit lying. So I sent him a bunch of photo blocks from doing some stuff with Danny and them. And he's like, man, when your dad gets here, he said, can he come autograph my book? Because he was a big fan of The Outsiders, too.
Sure.
You know, so it was pretty cool. My kids, they really didn't understand until I took them down to when we did a signing or something. And, you know, everybody was like tripping over me and my brother, man, because they're like, oh, yeah, he was in the movie, whatever, da 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 da. But
of course. Yeah, your dad, whatever. Yeah.
Then my kids got, I got 2 daughters and 4 boys and the girls just got really hyped up after it. But before I actually took them down there, when Danny started all this, I mean, there's like, oh, no big deal. You know, you was in a movie, da da da. But when everybody was asking for autographs and stuff, you know.
Yeah, next thing you know, dad's like a rock star.
Yeah, and Uncle Bill over here, you know. So crazy how it all turned out, you know, because I hadn't heard nothing personally in, what, like 30 years. Yep. And James Clark hit us up. Then Danny hit us up. How many years after that?
Probably two.
Two or three years, Danny hit us up. And I thought it was Billy pulling my chain. You know, he's like, hey, are you the Chris Wagner that's in the 52-car pickup? Or Chris, I'm sorry, Chris Wagner. And I was like, you know, whatever, click. And I found out it was Danny O'Connor, you know. Billy's like, did Danny call you? I was like, no, that was you. He goes, no, it was Danny. How's Payne jumped around?
And yeah, I was like, of course. Okay, back. Yeah, it's very strange. I say it a lot, too. It's like I met Danny in passing at a show in like 1993, like a quick, like, yo, you guys were great. Like, I gave him like a quick little handshake and I kept it moving, but I didn't know him and he doesn't remember me. I remember that.
Right.
And in like 2015, I was doing another podcast. I did it for like 6 years. I killed it off now, but he was on that. And I went to Philadelphia. He was doing a show there and I was backstage with him. And I only wanted, like, at the time I was only doing, well, I was doing full episodes, but sometimes I would do like a little quick on location, like quick little 15, 20 minute things here and there, like live at a show. So I hit him up on Facebook. He's like, yeah, sure, man. Just come down and I'll bullshit with you. I'm like, all right, that's awesome. So he's like, oh, so I hit him up. I didn't have his phone number yet. So I'm hitting him up on Facebook. He's like, yeah, I was like, oh, I'm here. He's like, all right, just come backstage. I'm like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what this venue is. I don't know where backstage is. You know, and then I look over and I see big ass 6'6" Danny boy and he's waving me over. I'm like, okay. So he told the guys, he's like, yeah, let them in. You know, he's with me. And we went all the way to the back and I was only expecting like 10, 15 minutes because I knew he was doing a show. I didn't want to impose. I didn't want to take up his time. Right. You know, but next thing you know, he brings us all the way in the back where there's like no noise and nobody else. We're sitting on like metal folding chairs. I had my phone out. And for just under an hour, we're just talking. And he's just nothing even about House of Pain, man. It was like, why am I talking to Danny Boy from House of Pain about Soda Pop Curtis? Like, this is fucking weird shit, you know? But it was always like a weird, not even weird. It was always like an interest of mine as a little kid, wondering where certain things were filmed. Where did that really happen? I don't know why. I've always been like interested in that kind of stuff. So to fast forward to the House of Pain guy of all people, and I'm hanging out with him at, I don't know, what is it called? The Fastway Cafe in Tulsa?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? And I'm sitting there talking about where Tom Petty signed his record deal in that booth over there. Like, very strange. Like, he's not even like Danny from House of Pain anymore. You know, right.
Well, he contacted me. I didn't realize Danny O'Connor. I knew who Danny Boy was, but I didn't realize Danny O'Connor. And he's like, was you in the movie? And I was like, yeah. And he said, can you meet me in Tulsa? I said, sure. I'll meet you down there. After I realized who he was, I was like, oh, shit. So we took a trip and me and the wife went down and met him. And we've been buddies ever since, man. I mean, we clicked pretty good. So, yeah.
Good dude. Just a fucking good dude, man.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it the way he acts. You know, with the success he's had, you wouldn't expect him to be down to earth, but he is.
Right.
He really is.
Yeah, it's nice when you meet somebody who has their level of fame or whatever, and you real, and because a lot of people can have an ego and it could act like jerk offs. You know what I mean? I've witnessed a lot of it, and people who don't even deserve to even have an ego.
Right.
Yeah, it's like there's one of the businesses that I work in, a 21-story commercial building, and on one of the floors is a business owned by David Robinson from the San Antonio Spurs. So he comes in the building once every like maybe 4 or 5 months or something like that. He stops into his New York office, and like, he's a guy that you would think maybe would have this crazy ego, MVP, Hall of Famer, championship, crazy. Sweetheart of a guy, like the sweetest dude ever. It's like, wow. It's like you can have an ego and be an asshole, but you're just not like that. So it's really cool when someone has a level of fame that's cool and can talk to you like on the level, you know?
Right.
Well, like all the years, man, like we was going down there and we did some stuff with C. Thomas Howe and Daryl Dalton and stuff like that. But I had never really heard Danny's story per se. Probably like 4 months ago, 5 months ago, or maybe a little longer than that, I heard him telling some visitors at the house, you know, hey, man, this was my favorite movie when I was 13. You know, what he had to go through to get the house and what he did, it just blew my mind. And I seen his passion.
Yeah.
Billy's always been the big boy to me. And then I'm up there with Danny and he makes me look like a midget, you know, a little, little guy. And I'm like, damn. But like I said, when Billy first told me about it, you know, I was always in the club back in the day. You know, I'd be at the clubs and jump around was one of the cuts back then.
Oh, of course. It was everywhere. You couldn't escape that song.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I YouTubed it. I was like, oh, that's, you know, and I was like, oh my God. Then I met him and he's super cool to us. Everybody's been really super cool to us. Cause really, like when we did our first signing, man, at was it Canes?
No, it was Blackbird on the Pearl.
Was the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one with the line was real big where they have all that?
The first one.
Yeah. So anyway, man, I heard about all these lines and I told Billy, I said, you got all these actors and stuff and you got me and you, I'm going to be embarrassed because we're weak. And dude, we find as much stuff as they did.
Is everybody? Yeah. Sure, man. You guys are in a great scene. You guys are in a great scene. It's not a very big scene, but it's a memorable scene. You know what I mean? It's crazy, bro. Like, you're the 52 pickup kid, too. You're the guy, but Matt Dillon is being an asshole. And,
they chased us so many times that second time we filmed. It was like 4 months later, and they even pushed Chris down once, Tommy, and then pushed Chris down.
Pushed me down, and
we was ready to fight him.
Really? We grew up.
Yeah, we didn't take that.
Like I said, that neighborhood was.
And then when we first seen him again, he was like, oh shit, you got big. I was like,
Try to push me down again.
Don't do that now.
Yeah.
I'll be chasing you.
Remember they had pushed me down, and I remember, who was it that?
Tommy had a wig on.
Tommy had a wig on, and I smacked it. And I was a little kid, but I kind of rubbed it. And I remember this guy coming out. I worked on his hair, you know, put body pins and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, they're pissed. They're going to cut us out of this damn thing. You know?
Yeah, it's funny because Danny pointed that out to me. We're sitting in his truck and he has his laptop out. Because just let me back up real quick. When I first got there, I texted him. I'm like, yo, I'm at the house. He's like, all right, I'll meet you at the hideout in like 10 minutes. Yeah. He comes flying down the street with his big ass truck with his 2-bit license plate. I'm like, this is hilarious, you know? And it's like, he didn't even get out of the truck and say, what's up? He just rolled out his passenger side window. He's like, yo, what's up? Get in. Let's go hit some spots. I'm like, all right. So I jump in and we're flying around all over Tulsa.
He can't drive.
He
can't drive. No, man.
He's all.
Yeah.
We were whipping around Tulsa like crazy. Yeah. And that's when he broke it down, because one of the first spots I think was we went to the DX. And then I didn't realize, obviously watching the movie and you don't realize when you're watching it, that the DX is literally on the opposite side of the buildings where you guys originally saw.
Right. Right. We watched them film that scene. We were there watching them. We was there.
Nice. Do you remember a lot of that, huh? I mean, you guys weren't little.
Hey, bro, he's a year older than me, and he's got to check me sometimes because he's like, dude, that didn't happen. And I'm like, because he's got a memory, man, but sometimes I, like, remember stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah,
I was a hard-headed kid back then, so I got knocked around a little bit. But
That's what he pointed out to me. He's like, well, this was in two different spots. And now every time I see the movie, now I can't unsee it because, you know, because when what does he say? He's like, you know, I don't like kids. You know, I just don't like them. That's a different, like the wall behind him is a different brick wall.
I told him about it. They never said that to us. He never said that to us. And you could tell the different walls back there.
Yeah, big time. And then you could see that see Thomas Howell has a friggin' has a wig on. You guys are bigger. It's you don't realize it when you're watching the movie, just watching it. And then when you know, now you know, it's like, oh shit. Cause we went to both spots. I went to the second spot as well. I had to hop a fence and shit in order to get my angle right where you guys are getting chased.
Yeah. Yeah. When we did that, so the first scene, we was enamored with them too. I mean, we was like, oh, they're movie stars, you know. But our uncle was a makeup man in Hollywood for a lot of years. So he did, like, you remember The Fall Guy?
Sure, Lee Majors.
He was a makeup man on that. My uncle was. He was Lucille Ball's personal makeup man for a lot of years.
Really?
Yeah. He you can look him up on IMDb, but
what's his name?
His name's Ken Winzevic.
Okay.
Yeah. He was married to my our aunt, and they're divorced now. Of course, I still call him Uncle Ken because he's always going to be my uncle.
Of course, sure. You know,
so, but yeah, we go out there, and Lucille Ball would take their chains, her and her husband, and send it to my cousins. They'd gather all their change up for a year and then send it to my cousins.
Really?
It was a trip, birthday presents, everything. Yeah, it was a pretty cool thing. So we was around a little bit when we were younger, but
we got pictures. I seen it the other day. We got pictures of stuff from like Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember that, dude. Like I said, I didn't remember, and I think my mom or somebody sent them to me, and I was like, "Damn, we was from North Tulsa, and we up here with Merle Haggard, and all this other stuff, you know, at the fair. It was at the fair or something, you know, way back then.
It was at the Freedom Train in '76. Yeah. They brought the
see his memory,
the bell.
Man. He's talking about
it was a bicentennial. That's when we met him. Yeah, he stepped off a train. My mom said, "You Merle Haggard?" And he said, "Shh, don't tell nobody." And she's like, "Take a picture with the boys." And he did. So he took
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
it was
cool shit.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So now, obviously, growing up around that area, I mean, I don't know where you guys were in 2009. I think it was 2009, I believe, is when Danny first saw the house when he was on that tour. So it's like, did you ever like pass by that house, like just in passing or whatever? And just.
So our aunt's brother owned the house at that time. Yeah. So
Mark and them lived there.
They rented the house from them. It's my aunt's brother. His name is Lewis Priest. And so we was around the house all the time. Mark, his grandson, played basketball with us all the time.
Okay. So,
and the kid directly across the streets lived there since we grew up there.
Stormy,
young. And he, so we still see people. When we go to Tulsa, we go by there. Even before the house was there, we go by the old neighborhood. Because we grew up, you know. Yeah. We moved there in 74. So.
Okay.
We was there until 89, probably, or so, around that area.
Okay.
So that's it, yeah.
So when did you first catch wind that Danny was going to buy this house, or when he bought the house?
So he texted me, and he said, "Can you keep a secret?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll keep a secret." He said, "I'm buying that house." I said, "What are you going to do with it?" And he said, "Probably museum or something." But he said, "I'm buying it." I was like, "Cool, man." But I didn't tell nobody because he asked me not to. You know?
Yeah.
So it was right after, I think, he was making the deal for it. He texted me, you know. He's so big now in Tulsa, I have to have a invite to see him anymore because he's never around.
I know. He's all over. He's up in gyrocopters. He's like shark diving in some tropical coral reef.
Yeah, he's too big a snack for sharks. He needs to stay out of that water.
he ain't Danny from the House of Pain no more, bro. He's like
no.
Museum.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time, and we're in Oklahoma City, and I mean, we hear it, I mean, all the time. It's like, it's crazy, his passion for that and what he did and followed and took that house and totally ripped it all the way down to nothing, him and whoever helped him, whatnot, and did what he's did for the passion of liking the movie.
Sure.
It just blows my mind. But I heard, like I said, man, I heard his story, actually, all the times we've dealt with Danny and them, first time I ever heard the story, really, he was telling a couple people, and I was like, that's deep, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's deep.
Yeah, he definitely has a story.
That, yes, sir.
Big time. And
I'm glad it turned out like that.
Oh, me too, 100%, man, 100%. And he's one of the guys that, like, hey, Danny, if you're watching and listening, don't get your head bigger than it already is. But you know what? It's the truth, man, and he's super humble, and he's like, he walks the walk, like, you know what I mean? Like, he goes to meetings and he's always teaching about, you know, being positive and you know, his whole thing, how he always quotes S.E. Hinton about, you know, you might be able to flunk, you know, creative writing or whatever, but just because, you know, you might not do good in school for something doesn't mean that you're not worth anything or you can't do something great, you know, and he's just a positive dude.
Dogs.
There you go. Are they stray dogs from North Tulsa? Because there's stray fucking dogs in North Tulsa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to play my pistol last time I was down there.
Yeah, they'll chase you around the block a few times, get the exercise in.
Yeah.
Dude, I was in Crutchfield Park, and next thing you know, I see dogs all over the place. I'm like, all right, this ain't good. And it's crazy. I don't know what it is about them rectangular Midwest states, man, but I was going through Arkansas, and I went to go see Johnny Cash's childhood house and shit. Right. So I'm in Dyess, Arkansas, and I'm by the Dyess Theater. It's like this little small little horseshoe street, and there's a building that supposedly where Johnny Cash's brother was fatally injured. And and they also filmed that scene in that building for that movie Walk the Line.
Wow, that's true.
Yeah. So, and but the building is all dilapidated. The roof is coming in. So I know where this spot is. So I'm looking at the theater and taking my little stupid tourist pictures, dying in Arkansas and shit. There's like 9 people in the whole damn town. So I'm walking, and as I'm walking, I see these 2 dogs hauling ass across the street. Oh, no. And I'm just like, fuck. So then they whip around the building where I'm supposed to be going to take my pictures from the movie. And they run up on me, a pit bull and some kind of a mutt. And they, now I'm shitting myself, but I don't want to let them know that I'm scared. So I have like my phone in my hand and I stop and I look dead at them and they both look at me. And then it was funny, man, because they both looked at each other and then they looked at me again and they just stood there. And I just like slowly backed away. And then I got in the truck we were in, and then they got out of there, and then I pulled around. They were gone. I opened the door real slow, and I got my shot. But there's something about stray dogs that, I don't know, man. That used to be a thing back in the day in Brooklyn. There would always be stray dogs. Not no more, though. I don't know what's up over there with all these dogs.
It's always been like that in North Tulsa.
Yeah.
I remember we used to drag dogs home, man, and Dad'd be like, already got enough. You got enough. And we would take them in, man. We was dog lovers, you know, so.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Shit. So once he bought the house, and then, I mean, obviously he had like the big grand opening and stuff like that. And then it must be really cool for you guys, because it's like, it was almost maybe, I'm not going to say forgotten, but maybe it was, you know, they really, all right, it was an older movie, this, that, and the other thing. But now it's like, it's huge all over again because of
it. People up here, when I'm wearing my shirt, they're like, you ever been to the house? I'm like, I was in the movie. And like, oh shit, find something for me. Yeah, they're quick about it. So
yeah.
Running people up in Oklahoma City all the time that want us to sign stuff and do things like that.
So funny is, I bought this silver jacked up truck, and I was at the flea market. We call them flea markets down here, but I was at the flea market, and these people make specialized license plates like for the front.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it got me, but at first I was like, I'm going to do a 52 card pickup, chrome, put it on the front of my truck.
Yeah.
I was telling Billy like a couple weeks ago, I pulled up to a 7-Eleven. There's some homeless guys out there. And there's like 52 car pickup, the outsiders. And there's homeless dude. And there's like, is that what that means? Are you a gambler? I said, no, I was in the movie.
That's fucking cool, though.
And, stuff. And I was like, man, I feel so good. I was like, good. I mean, I know people fall on hard times, but for them to just be homeless like that and just from a tag on my truck, man, he was like, brought up the outsiders. They said, are you a gambler or something? I said, no, I'm from the outsiders, bro. I was in that movie. He said, no way. And this is the homeless dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
My mind.
Yeah.
That's good shit, man.
He caught some dollars on the way out the store because he made me smile.
There you go. You got to hit him off with a couple of dollars.
No, nobody knew we was even in the movie. Because we couldn't prove it really, except for our check stub. But when Danny started that thing, everybody knew it was us. I mean, the kids we grew up with knew we was in it. But now everybody knows. I mean, they'll stop and say, that's you. So they see us on the websites and stuff. And so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. I'm real surprised.
Well, I had a birthday, July 30th was my birthday. And one of the girls that I work for a company, we do maintenance and whatnot. But she told me the other day, she looked it up and she said, you see where the Outsider House Museum wished you a happy birthday. Well, I don't do Twitter.
Twitter and TikTok.
I'm not with all that stuff. So anyway, she showed me a picture. She said, take a picture of it, dude, because you're a superstar. And I was like, but they had wished me a happy birthday, little stuff like that, man, it just puts me in another mood that even though, I work hard doing what I do or whatever, it's just I always come back. I mean, for somebody that don't even know me, it's like, you was in the movie The Outsiders because I seen this, Chris Wagner. Yeah, and I'm like, damn, dude, I didn't even see it, so.
That's great. It brings you back as, maybe in a time where it was simpler times, you were a kid, there was no responsibility, it's nostalgic, it's always a good memory that like I said before, my daughter was like 5 or 6 when I first sat her down to watch it. She's going to be 13. She still loves the movie. She's like, Dad, let's watch The Outsiders. I'm like, all right, let's watch it. Like, I've seen it 1,000 times. Like, I'll watch it all over. I'll watch it again right now. Like, I'll watch it all day long, So it's one of those movies that, it doesn't get old. It's not dated. It's a classic movie. And it's pretty damn cool that, you were kids and you're a part of that movie in a very memorable scene, man. So
they do the book in all the schools now. And I was telling Billy probably about 8-9 years ago, I had met this girl that works at a local convenience store and her husband came over my house. It's a big old muscle bound oil field worker. And anyway, I barbecue all the time. So I'm barbecue and I invited them to the house.
Your Facebook posts about you barbecue.
So we've been drinking all day and the dude's like, can I use your bathroom? And I was like, yeah, well, you got to walk through my office to get to my bathroom. And I got all my Outsiders deal. And he came out and he was like, hey, you wasn't in the movie The Outsiders. And this is a old muscle bound dude. And his wife's like, he's like, hey, he was in The Outsiders. And she said, what's Outsiders? And he said, you know how the Titanic is? That's how the Outsiders was.
Yeah.
Giving me brother love and hugging up on me. It's like, dude, I can't believe that it's done. And it was just so freaky that this big old hell of a man was like loving on me because I was just a little part in a movie that he loved so much.
Yeah. And
little stuff like that, man, it just blows your mind, man, because you're like, damn, I was just a little part of this movie and this dude was freaking out asking me to sign stuff and hey man, can I get some of them cards?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, every time we go to the house we end up signing a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, that's awesome, dude. Yeah. Now well, I already have because I went on this big ass road trip and I never did a road trip like that ever. I flew from New York to Austin, Texas, and I was all over Texas, and then we went up. The first stop in Oklahoma was Oklahoma City. That's a beautiful city, man.
Right.
Like I was over by, I had to go to like the memorial and stuff like that. I was walking around there, man. And besides the memorial, like what I take away from Oklahoma City is how clean that whole area is, dude. Like, I'm like, this is the middle of the city. Why does the sidewalks have like tan bricks that people here would have like in their backyard? You know what I mean? Like super clean. I was like, wow, like this is awesome. But then we went over to Tulsa and we drove all the way back to Brooklyn. But but doing that trip and driving, dude, there was not one time we didn't have the radio on, not one time. It was just a great break away from this crazy ass city I live in and all this shit. So it just made, like, every year now I want to do another road trip. Like, I want to do this shit and hit spots and whatever. But every time I do a road trip, it's got to pass through and I got to stop in Tulsa. Like, that's the Bravo headquarters. You got to make a pit stop. So next year I'm doing California and I'm going to do four days in California. And I'm driving my ass all the way back to New York with a whole bunch of stops. So I'm going to stop in Tulsa. It's going to be probably like sometime in July, early August. So I'll let you guys know And I want a little fucking card or something signed by you guys. I do. I need it for my collection. I have a stupid collection, so I need something for the collection, man.
Would you see the picture of us with Matt Dillon at the house?
Yes.
We'll send you one of them.
Awesome. I'll get it from you in person, dude.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
I told the wife I want to go to New York. I've never been there, but I had an older guy work for me, and man, I think he grew up there, but then he moved down here, but he's a retired guy from like the tire place, you know. And I told the wife I'd like to go up there and see like the memorial and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But we've never made it. We make it to Vegas, we make it to Louisiana, we make it everywhere else. But I said I want to go to New York.
Our brother was just in New York. He was at Times Square. But okay. Instead of going to the memorial, he went to Jersey Shore House.
Okay.
Like, dumbass, wait, there's so much. And I'm a Sopranos fan, dude. I love
Sopranos. Yeah, me too, man. I've been to Tony's house.
If I went there, that's where I'd be going. I'd hit all them spots, man.
Closed
now. Is it closed?
No.
Somebody said it.
Is it open? The house?
No. The Bada Bing.
Oh, the Bada Bing is closed. But you know what you can do? You can actually go. I've done it. I've sat in the actual booth in the shop at the very end where Tony gets killed at the end.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I seen that picture. Yeah, you was in there. Yeah.
Yeah, man. We were bored one night. It was like a rainy Sunday. And we were like, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't want to sit in the house anymore. We're like, I don't know. Right. Let's drive all the way. Next thing you know, it's pouring rain. We're on the Jersey Turnpike with tractor trailers. I'm like, what are we doing right now? We're just trying to go just to sit where Tony Soprano sat. And
they leave that one open, don't they? They leave it open.
Anybody can sit there.
Really? You can eat there too while you're there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a regular place. And we walked in there and it was weird because the whole place it wasn't jam-packed, but there was, you know, a few people sitting in there. It's like a little diner, you know, they sell chocolate and you could buy, you know, diner food, you know? And I asked the girl at the counter. I felt kind of stupid because a million people probably did it. But I was like, what are the chances we could sit in Tony Soprano's booth? And I wasn't sure where it was situated in the place. And she looked up, she's like, it's like, oh, we just got to clear off the table. It's right there. It's open. I was like, oh, shit. So I'm sitting there and I look over and there's the phone booth is right there. It's crazy. It's like you're on the set and it looks just the same. And you can go there and eat.
Yeah, I'd love to go see all that.
You guys come to New York. I'll drag you guys all over the place. You want Sopranos thing? I'll bring you to Tony's house. There's places all over the place, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a field day in New York.
We need to, because I'd love to see it. Like I said, I told my brother, I said, you could have went and seen the Sopranos house. You could have went. He said, well, I didn't think about that. I said, you thought about damn Jersey Shore.
I would never even think about that. It's a waste of gas for me.
That's a younger crew, you know.
I'm not into Snooki.
Yeah, I wouldn't go across the street and see them, you know. So
Yeah.
I'm a foot taller than all of them anyway, so, you know.
Of course. Oh, yeah, doing the things that I do with, like, the whole location thing, like, being in New York, I'm spoiled, man. There's thousands and thousands of things that you can go and see that people don't even realize, you know?
They're standing there and don't know it's what it is, yeah.
Nah, I'll bring you to John Gotti's house. Oh, it's right in Queens. I used to live five blocks from there.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I lived five blocks.
My brother-in-law, he started his own business. He's transporting like pets and stuff. He told me he was in New York the other day and he was like, man, I was going to stop and like move around a little bit. He said, nah. He said, the traffic and the people walking and he's
Well, it all depends on where you are too. Now, listen, if you're in the middle of Times Square on a nice Saturday night, it's fucking like cattle. There's people everywhere. You gotta pick and choose. See, that's why you need somebody like me, you gotta pick and choose where you want to go, what days, how you're gonna get there. Like, the trains are the easiest way.
You know, The Warriors is one of my favorite movies too.
That's 2 miles. It's 90% of The Warriors is literally 2 miles from where I'm sitting right now.
I love to go.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Coney Island is right there. Right. I mean, within 10 miles of me, 80% of Goodfellas was filmed.
Right.
You know, there's so much stuff, dude. It's I have maybe 300 and something pictures in my Delta Bravo folder in my phone of spots within the five boroughs that I just haven't hit yet.
Oh, wow.
And I've been doing this shit like crazy since like 2016. And I always find there's always new shit that just comes up. It's like, wow. It's like, I was right here. And then I'll be, you know, in some neighborhood hitting a certain movie or whatever. And then like a month later, I'll find something else. I'll be like, I was literally like down the block from where I was doing it. And I was like, we were right there like yesterday and we didn't even realize. Like, there's stuff like that all over the place.
Well, it's neat to see that stuff. I'd love to see it. You know, we weren't born here. We was born in Illinois.
Okay. Right,
born. We moved here when I was 4. Chris was 3. So we like to go back, even Chicago, hit some of them places and you know, things like that, you know.
Yeah. I need to go to Chicago. On this next road trip, I got to pass through.
Yeah. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, I'd love to eat at that Cat's Deli, you know. I'd love to eat. Man, pastrami, I got to eat some of that.
We'll drag both of you in there. Be hungry.
Yeah, I love it.
Save room, man. Save room, because that's a meal.
Yeah, I'd snack it up, man. Be ready for more.
Yeah. It ain't cheap, but you'll eat shit for 2 days. A sandwich, you'll have that shit for 2 days. It's crazy. That shit is like this fat. It's nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to eat there. I've seen it on like Andrew Zimmern. I'm like, damn, I need to go try that. That looks good, man. Danny was
in New York not too long ago, a few weeks back, but it's messed up. I couldn't see. I had plans and I had a hotel book. I was going to Washington, D.C. But he stopped and he stopped at Cat's Deli. Like, it's one of the spots where if you're not in New York very often or ever, you have to go to Cat's.
Yeah, hit it. Well, it's been there for 100 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to try it.
And while I show you like the Warriors spots, you got to go to eat a couple of hot dogs from the original Nathan's.
Yeah, I'd love to eat Nathan's too. Yeah,
that the original one's over 100 years ago. It's right there.
Yeah, did you get a chance to eat the Coney Islander here in Tulsa when you was here?
I didn't. No, we ate. Danny brought us to this seafood spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was called.
Whitewater.
Yeah, that's it.
White River is what it is. White River Fish. Yeah, it's a good place. Yeah,
we ate there. And then in the morning, Danny hit me up. It was like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And he sent me like a little direction, like an address. Yo, I'll see you here in like a half hour. I'm like, all right. And that's where we're at, that little cafe eating breakfast.
Yeah, Freeway Cafe. It's been there for years, too.
Yeah, and we were in there. But like I said, next summer, I'm passing through there again 100%. So I want to hit that. We'll probably go to the White River spot and I'll hit somewhere else. Like, I want like that local shit. I don't want to eat at no damn McDonald's or some shit.
No.
I don't want to do none of that.
Yeah. They haven't taken you to Kilkenny's, man. That's a good spot to eat. It's a Irish pub. And they have like Irish breakfast and stuff. Every time I'm in Tulsa, that's where I go. I'm there at 9, man. Yeah. So it's a good spot to eat, man.
Nice. Good food. So now I gotta ask on a completely different topic. Have you guys did any other movies or anything like that?
No, they offered something to my mom and my dad turned it down.
Was it for Tex?
No, Tex before we did ours, but it was out of town. I don't remember.
It was like in Texas somewhere though, right?
I don't remember. It was something and I don't remember what the deal was, but my dad said no, so we didn't get to.
Well, you know, Billy wouldn't even been in the Outsiders because once they found out they shaved my head. He was like, nah, y'all ain't shaving my hair.
Yeah,
and my dad said, I'll buy you a hat. That's one thing I do remember from way back when. Another real cool deal, too, is Brian Butler, the third kid they pulled out the crowd. I got to meet up with him, was it last year? Yeah, last year. I hadn't seen him, man, in 40 some odd years.
Wow.
As soon as I seen him, I said, that's the dude right there. Because, I mean, it's just crazy, man, that. And his story is pretty good too, because like he was staying at his aunt's or something, and at the last minute, Francis Coppola wanted an extra kid, right?
Yeah,
and man, his aunt pushed him, like choose him, and
He got to be in the movie. And
but they didn't shave his head.
Yeah, they didn't shave his head. His, yeah. And Billy was mad as could be.
But
boy.
He shaved it this last time we got together. He went ahead and shaved it. So I'm cool with it now. Yeah. So he said, I did this for you and took his hat off and shaved. So
yeah, he's a really nice kid, man. A guy now. But, I mean, it's just crazy that you could be in something like that many years ago. And all of a sudden, I don't know who found him. If it was Danny or whatever. Because they had a couple imposters, you know. Yeah. Acting like they was in the movie, and it wasn't them. But as soon as the first time I met him, I mean, dude, you could look at his face and tell he's that kid. You know, yeah. So, that's cool, man. You know?
Yeah, man, crazy. Yeah. So all these actors and everything, was everybody cool with you guys, or was there an actor that was kind of like, this guy's an asshole?
Matt Dillon was until we did the scene with him, and I could take my friends to meet him, and he was cool with that.
Now my favorite was Patrick Swayze.
He was like
the big brother, and he treated everybody real cool.
Yeah,
I was kind of pissed off at, you know, C. Thomas Howe, because he had pushed me down in the ground and put on my hand. But
we was tired of him by then.
Man, we ran and ran and ran. You may see that little piece on the movie.
We did it 50 times.
Probably 50 times. Bro. It was like, then he pushed us, and I'm like, and they were bigger kids back then, but we done grew up now. So, no. But they're all cool, man, like I said. But I remember Patrick Swayze from even way back then. He was like the cool dude, and I thought he was so cool. Matt Dillon, leather jacket and all that stuff, he was super cool the way I felt at the time. But I remembered it. I mean, like, I remembered once all this restarted that, like, man, I like this dude. I like this dude.
The first one I met was and I shook his hand. And when I shook his hand, I could see he'd been digging in the quicks of his fingernails. So I thought, well, he's just a dude like us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I knew him from his singing days and from like Walking Tall. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid. So he was a little kid in that. So I was sitting between Ralph and Rob Lowe getting my hair cut the second time. Which I was mad about again because I was starting junior high the following month. And Rob Lowe starts singing in the Army at me. He was saying, "Beat all you can be," because I was getting my head. He wouldn't do that today. it'll be a little different game today.
That being said, Rob Lowe's cool. His son's an actor or whatever now, man. And because I follow their stuff. And that's what's crazy is once – you know, I'd never watched none of their stuff after all that. You know, I may see them in movies, but I even forgot, hey, man, we was in a movie with them back in 19, whatever it was, you know. 80.
Yeah, you're probably filming in 82.
Yeah, 82. And I have to ask Billy, I said, man, how old was we then? Somehow my bad memory, I got some stories mixed up, and Billy's like, no, what do you say? You know, I mean, I literally forgot about a lot of that stuff.
We just went down the school they used as their offices was our elementary, and they closed.
We used to ride bikes down there.
We rode our bikes down there one day, and we went into the office, and they took our picture. He said, "We'll probably call you in a couple of days." And it wasn't the female casting; it was her assistant, I guess. And sure enough, they called my mom and said they're going to cut our hair and slick it back. We get to the makeup trailer, and they buzz his hair. I said, "Oh hell no!" I left. But that's a short version. Copeland then was. I heard one of the producers say, he don't want to be in the movie, and he doesn't. And I said, no, I don't. And I kept walking. And finally he said, you'll regret it if you don't do it. And I said, okay. And then my dad said he'd buy me a hat. So I was like, cool, I'll do it.
Uh-huh.
I shave it again. So I was mad about that.
And I remember in the scene, man, it started like our dad, we didn't mess with their dad. Not like these kids nowadays. Like, hey, we want them to smoke. And I think me and Billy both looked like, oh, hell no. My dad slapped a cigarette out of our mouth.
I got a cigarette right there in the background, Jimmy, if you look.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like, our dad has slapped the cigarette out of our mouth, you know. But how it turned out and everything, man, it was so super cool.
I was teasing everybody. I still smoke to this day. And I said, I'm going to sue Copeland because he got me started. I got proof. Yeah, I said, I'll get him. It'll show him. But no, even Copeland was really cool after we did the first scene. We'd see him about and he'd wave, and I mean, you know, they were busy, but I mean, we went down there all the time when he was filming, or they'd call us and say, hey, we're going to shoot your scene today, be over here, and we'd be over there and he'd get too late to shoot it, the second part, and so we'd have to come back another day. The uncut scene where they're showing Will Rogers High School and Pony Boy walks out, we're actually watching that being filmed. We're standing there.
All right.
I mean, they and everything. So
if you remember, even at the Admiral Quinn, mom had a friend or something that lived over there, and they lived so close to the Admiral Twin, you could listen or turn the radio.
They gave everybody speakers on that first street.
Yeah, on the first street.
Because they knew they were going to watch.
You could actually be on top of their roof of their house, and you could watch a movie and listen.
Yeah.
Right. I think we always snuck in, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
We always snuck in.
Did you guys sneak in the same spot where they sneak in the movie?
No, that part, we didn't ever sneak in. We did the car trunk thing like everybody did. Everybody did that. But
yeah, we put in the trunk of the cars that would do, they wouldn't have to pay so much.
Yeah, we did buy it. We did that. We probably want some money now thinking about it. But no, we didn't go through that hole. It's still there though.
I couldn't believe that shit because Danny brought us there. It just popped in my head. I was like, yo, where's the spot where they sneak in? He's like, oh, it's right over here. And he drove right to it. And like that same concrete and the same fence. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the bend that was in the
chain link
fence? It's still there.
Yeah.
Is that not crazy after all these years?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like the railing that was in between the concession stand that Matt Dillon hops over, like that's still exactly there. Like, it's crazy, man.
So we watched Star Wars at the Admiral Twin in 1977.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, so we was over there. And I remember watching the first Star Wars.
I remember our mom and dad used to take us, you know, and we'd go up there and sit in the back of a pickup truck and watch the movies. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy that it's kind of full circle, and then it lit us all up again. And it's, like I said, I do a lot, bro. I was telling Billy, man, I'd be embarrassed because you got C. Thomas Howe, you had Danny there, you had a dude from the Pussycats or whatever it was when we did the signings. So you're
talking about Slim Jim.
Slim Jim. My memory sucks, but anyway, I was like, bro, ain't nobody going to want some little kids from this little scene, da da da. And like I said, man, I feel like a movie star when we signed that stuff because there's people coming through and asking if they could take pictures for me and my brother, you know, and I was like, yeah. And they're like, what that cost? I said, that don't cost nothing. Let's do it, you know. And then we had some friends that we grew up with. They came, of course, and we took some pictures because we got albums and stuff that, I mean, it is what it is, but Danny brought it back, you know. So that's pretty cool. Then you gave him your jean jacket. Yeah. Found the jean. I told Danny, I said, man, we got this trailer. At my dad's place, and I said, him and my mom had divorced, and a bunch of the stuff was in there. And I told Danny, I said, my dad said he still got the check stubs and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Danny's like, I come out there and help you dig through that stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Bro, this trailer's like bent down and like it's squashed.
That's where my jacket was.
That's where his jacket is, where he found it and gave it to Danny.
Yeah, we had to bleach it though, because it had a lot of mold and stuff on it, and it was pretty rough when I found it. So
it just brings back memories all the way down from.
But we wore our own clothes for the movie.
Yeah, of course.
So we got to keep ours, and a lot of people didn't because they dressed them. So
How crazy is that you're wearing this stuff in the movie, and now it's on display in a damn museum?
Yeah, no, I know. And when Matt Dillon was there a couple months back, he's knelt down looking at that picture of us, me and him and Chris. I got a picture of that. I was like, holy shit, he's seen it. So. I'd like to see Matt Dillon just because it's been a lot of years, you know.
Sure.
I'm bigger than him now. So.
Yeah, definitely.
How about like all these actors, the guy off the Titanic, Leonardo.
Coming by,
Billy Idol rocking the Outsiders Museum shirt at the concert.
Yeah.
I mean, that blows my mind.
So many people. The Dropkick Murphys are coming through there. You had fucking Jack White go through there.
Green Day.
Yeah, man,
it blows my mind.
We've met a lot of cool, since we've been doing it. I got to meet Eazy-E's son and Yella from NWA.
Really?
Donnie Rich. He has the bars down there and he does the shows and he calls me or texts me, hey, this guy's gonna be here. You want to come? I'm like, yo, yeah, I want to come. So So got pictures with Yella and Eazy Jr. You know, Little Eazy they call him. So
I took the wife and some friends down to Tulsa and I had called Donnie. And I was like, what's going on at your little spots or whatever? And he's like, man, I'll VIP you. I got a table set up. Man, we went up there, and, man, he had this nice table set up for us at his club. Like, we some superstars or something, you know, and didn't have to pay no cover or nothing, bro. Yeah. And I'm like, he's a good dude too, man.
They treat him.
They really do.
Good shit. Nice. That's fucking cool shit, man. I'm glad. I mean, thanks to Danny. I mean, just the way everything worked out, he just happened to be on tour. There's nothing going on. He's bored. It pops in his head. He goes there. Long story short, he finds it, gets the house, and look at this. Now you get the damn guy has the key to the city.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he does. Yeah, it'd have been cool to know he was a fan of it back when he was with House of Pain, you know, in the early 90s. I'd have went to one of the shows and said, hey, this is who I am.
I remember that one signing we did, and they took us back to a little room, remember, and they had the Outsiders cake. And even that, man, like the original lady that did the movie, right? She owned that little deli or the bakery, but her daughter, the one we got the picture with.
Ann's Bakery.
Yeah, Ann's Bakery. It had been in Tulsa for years, and they wanted us, me and Billy, to come up there and make a stop in and take pictures with them.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that blew my mind. We ain't no Matt Dillon, C. Thomas Howell, you know. And we went in there and met the mom, and she was involved in it back then, and now the daughter runs it or something.
It was opened in 1929, so it's been in the family that long. It's closed now, but they wanted us to come by and take pictures. Okay, cool.
Hell yeah.
They're like, if you got time. I said, we got time.
I'll make time. That's just cool shit.
Yeah.
You're carrying on this tradition, man. It's crazy. Like I said, I texted my daughter. I'm doing a podcast with the 52 Pickup Kids. She thinks that's awesome. You know what I mean? This is a little girl. She's 13.
So another friend of mine, probably about, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, I worked with him. I do maintenance and stuff. And I worked with his brother at another complex. And he was like, hey, man, come over. It's a birthday party. I got a surprise for you. And so, man, I go over there, and the dude's brother's daughter is a big, big one of probably the biggest Outsiders fans I've ever met in my life. So I was telling Danny about this. I said, so I go over there and stuff, and I got this girl, little teenage girl, coming crying to me. You're the 52 car pickup, Bro, I had to bring her to my house, and I gave her some stuff that I only had like one of, because she just broke my heart with her tears and stuff. And I'm still friends with her and her mom and dad and stuff on Facebook and stuff. And I've watched her grow up since then, but it just blows my mind. I mean, how these girls read it in school, these younger, you know, so many years later, and they are like, oh my God, you know, Matt Dillon and, you know, and you're the, but I mean, like I said, I brought the girl here, and Danny and them hooked me up with a lot of stuff. And like I said, I brought her to my deal, and she told her dad that was one of the best birthday presents she ever had, that I brought her to my house and gave her a bunch of Outsider stuff.
Wow. See, that's cool. You brought it back for her too, as a kid and watching this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think she was maybe 13, 14 at the time. And I mean, it blows your mind what people, I never thought there was such a following until we did the show. Yeah. And I heard there was complaints because the lines was too long and all this other stuff.
That's a good complaint. That's a good complaint.
Bro, they had good, like, kick butt rock stars and everything in there. And they said our crowd, when Danny did that, was the biggest, one of the biggest crowds they ever have. Yeah. I mean, it's just over a movie that happened in 1982.
Yeah.
It just blows your mind, man.
Yeah, man. Crazy. 40 years later, go figure.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
But you know what everybody asked me? They're like, you get royalties from that? I was like, no. If I did, I wouldn't be a maintenance man.
Right. No, I get it. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I get the same shit with my stupid last name. My last name is Ferrari. Any relation? I wish. I wouldn't be working a 9-to-5 either. I wouldn't be. I do maintenance too in the city. I wouldn't be doing this shit.
Yeah.
I'd be in Italy driving my fucking cars.
Yeah, right. Well,
we signed our own releases as minors, so I think that's why they didn't give us a screen credit. Because they'd have to give us a royalty. So
well, as kids, we didn't even know to ask for stuff. Yeah, like that. I mean, you take the guy at the 7-Eleven and all that stuff. Their names was in the credit.
Well, he's an actor, though.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
See, I don't even know that, bro. I told you I got Alzheimer's or whatever it's called. No, I'm
kidding. Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I had a little hard life from Billy, but no, I'm kidding.
That's fucking funny shit.
Dude, on the for real, man, we met a lot of cool people. Jimmy Cash.
Yeah, good dude.
Yeah. What was Brady?
Jeff.
No, the other Jeff and Rob Brady.
Yeah.
Rob Brady's super cool. Like, we met a lot of people that know Danny or whatever. And they're cool people. Like, they're my friends on Facebook, and they mess with me. I mess with them. It's,
it's
weird how you build a relationship off of just something that some guy.
That we wouldn't even know nobody.
We wouldn't have known none of them, bro.
Right. Go figure.
You, yeah. Here
we go. It's crazy.
New Yorkers talk, though. I always told everybody, I said, if I had an accent like that, I'd have 12 kids instead of 6. You know, I'm messing with you. I just like having a good time, man. You're only as old as what you feel. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just turned 47, man. I do the same shit now. Well, some of the same shit. I don't do some shit. But when I was like 18 years old, man, I do the same shit. I dress the fucking same. I act the same. I sound the same. It's, you know, but I know I got the bad Brooklyn accent. I have friends of mine that I grew up with, and I'll be going and talking about something, and they'll stop and they'll look at me. They'll be like, do you hear yourself? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, do you hear? He's like, you got it bad. I'm like, I have what bad? He's like, your accent is bad. And these are from people who grew up in my neighborhood. You know? Right. It's like, really? I got it that bad, huh? All right. Yeah, I'm like a parody of myself, I feel like. Well, shit. Well, listen, I'm just going to throw out my, I have a couple of sponsors I need to throw out. And then if you guys want to talk about anything else, please feel free. You're not on a time schedule. So are you guys drink coffee?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't.
You know?
I'm so high, dude, bro. I'm so high strung that if I drink coffee.
They have decaf and they also have iced tea. All right. Yeah, so exactly. One of the sponsors is a company called Dead Sled Coffee. And I'm going to push a little button on my neck and I'm going to say this whole thing. Dead Sled Coffee. Follow them on Instagram at Dead Sled Coffee. If you go to deadsledcoffee.com and you type in the promo code Delta Bravo, you'll get 20% off of your order. Second sponsor, Main Street Jukebox. Follow them on Instagram at Main Street Jukebox. Go to mainstreetjukebox.com. He is a fellow Delta Bravo guy, Tom. He is located in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. It's a local mom and pop record store. Vinyls, CDs, all that stuff. They've been around since 1995. So support little local businesses. Last but definitely not least, another Delta Bravo guy, Kevin Bednarz, owns 3 pubs. The Ashburn Pub, the Percival Pub, and Percival Eats. Ashburn Pub is located in Ashburg, Virginia. And the other two are located in Percival, Virginia. Follow them on Instagram at Percival Eats, the Percival Pub, and Ashburn Pub. And you'll get all the information from there. All the people that are sponsors are all small mom and pop spots. And I use them. I've been drinking the coffee before the podcast. They're all friends. And that's it. So thank you for being sponsors. And also, always support the Outsiders House Museum and the Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team. Those are my sponsors. It's like I have to close my eyes or else it don't work. When I say it.
Mom hooked me up with Tom hooked me up with the 1956 Elvis record, man. So
you're the Elvis guy. That's right. You're the Elvis guy. See, all your shit is Elvis, which I'm not mad at. On this whole road trip, it was the first time, the only time I've ever been, but I went to Graceland.
Right, right.
And
I seen you there.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm the biggest Elvis fan ever. I'm not. Am I a fan? Absolutely. How could you not be a fan of Elvis Presley? But when I walked out of there a bigger fan of Elvis because I knew that he was like the guy, but when I was done, I didn't realize he was like the guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously you've probably been there, correct?
I haven't been there yet.
What?
I
need to go.
Yeah, I haven't been.
Dude!
Listen, there's a reason I'm scared. I'm going to grab some and run out the door with it.
You probably will.
That's what I said. I'm scared to go.
So I almost wanted to.
I do got a copy of his ring, his big TCB ring.
Yes.
It's made by the same jeweler. I also have a TCB necklace that I wear that came from Graceland. And we talked about porn, but I'm just like, I got to have enough bail money to get out of jail in case I swap some running. Yeah, so that's the, that's the biggest reason. Yeah.
Dude, we go ahead. Well, you're going to say that. I didn't want to cut you off.
Billy's always been an Elvis fan. He, back in the day, even back in teenage, he hit a dude in the mouth over Elvis. But now me, I was more in with the Kiss. I mean, I love Kiss, Beth, I hear you calling, all that stuff. Yeah. Like, this is my thing. But Billy's a big Outsiders fan. But I'm actually going up there the 19th of the month because my wife is a humongous Elvis fan. Yeah. And we went and seen the movie, and her dad and them was like, hey, man, we're going to go see this. Graceland and all that, and I was like, man, you know, I like the movies,
yeah,
but you know, I wasn't, but Billy, man,
let me say, Billy, you since from seeing your stuff, I know you're an Elvis guy. We stayed one night at the guest house at Graceland, right? Because it was on the road trip. It was like every night we stayed at a different hotel and we kept it moving. So one day was basically allotted for Graceland. You know, we did Graceland. And I mean, you check in. I felt like a homeless person when I walked in there. Because I'm like, we drove like 9 hours to get there from wherever we were before. I'm like, I have like pajamas on. I have a hat on. You know, my girl has like mascaras all over the place. She's half asleep. So we walk in there, but it was super cool. As soon as you walk in your room, everything is Elvis, dude. There's Elvis songs playing in the room. It's Elvis everything. Even at night, they put out little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and shit in the lobby. But then the mansion, I thought that the actual house was going to be a lot bigger. It's really not
a lot of people do. Right, right.
But the grounds and the museums on the grounds are crazy.
I'm an insider. So when I go, I can go do stuff that a lot of people can't because I've been an insider for probably 20 years. So when I go, I can go back and hold his rings. I can actually hold his rings in my hands.
Wow.
I don't go because I'd probably break. You know, if Jimmy, I don't know how to that. I can't. I don't want to say I would, but I just don't, you know, I've been such a fan of his. I got my first record in 1974.
Okay.
So, you know, I sent him to last, and I almost went to see him last time he came to Tulsa, but they sold out of tickets. So I didn't get to go. So I was upset about that. And one of my good friends actually got to go, and he got a scarf because he had wore his hair long. I think Elvis thought he was a girl. I keep teasing him about that. But that scarf will be mine one of these days.
Yeah.
So I said, well, whenever you want to give it, just go ahead. You know, so.
Yeah, of course.
But back in the day, it was Evel Knievel and Elvis Presley was my two favorite.
Bro, he tattooed an Elvis deal on Elvis' face on his leg, and he called me. He said, man, you see my new tattoo? I think his wife called me first. Said, did you see his new tattoo? And I was like, no, he got this new tattoo gun, whoopty-whoopty, and all this. I went over to his house, and he's got a picture of Elvis on his knee. Like, man.
Yeah.
All right. Listen.
I remember back in the day, you couldn't talk smack on Elvis, that gets you hit in the mouth. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's super impressive. Like, his planes are there. There's a museum with all of his car. I mean, his pink Cadillac, his Benz, his 1975 Ferrari, even like his golf cart and snowmobile are there. Like, all kinds of shit. And the one thing that I actually stopped and I was like, holy shit. You walk into a certain room in the career museum or something like that. And it's probably 4 stories high and like 300 feet long. Yeah. And it's all encased, it's all of his jumpsuits.
Yes.
Like lit up and like on display. Just the way they have it presented, it's like, whoa, man. Like all of his records, gold records.
Yeah. He was a fort.
They did one sale not that long ago for like.
Yeah, they're selling.
Blue cruiser money, bro. Like
they're selling the black Stutz that he had in the car museum. It's a black Stutz, the last one he was in when he was alive.
Yeah.
He actually drove into Graceland in that car, and they're selling it pretty soon. It's on the auction block. So,
but they, even in suit,
they sell stuff all the time. Yeah. But you can't. I mean, a matchbook's $1,200. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, man, So I'll keep to the fake stuff, but it still looks real.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, but listen, that you need to go. That's a bucket list place for you. You need to go.
I'm gonna go. I keep putting it off. I say yeah, I'm gonna go, and then I say no, I'm not gonna go, and then yeah, I'm gonna go, and then I just worry about going to jail. That's
yeah. You're gonna go up there and get jammed up and fucking taken away and steal the bracelets.
Yeah, I hadn't always been an honest citizen. I am today. So
Hey, listen, we all have our stories.
Right, I'm always honest. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice. Well, shit. Yeah, man. So it was definitely awesome. I can't wait till next summer. I want the winter to come and go already, because I'm already starting. I'm in the baby stages of planning my next insane road trip. But Tulsa will definitely be on there. I'm going to try to stay like two nights instead of just one, hang out, relax a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe if you guys are around, if you're in the area.
Oh, yeah.
Hit us up, bro, because we'll definitely.
Yeah, the last time it just snuck, I thought you was coming through on the weekend.
And yeah, it was like a Thursday or some weird
Thursday. Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, I can't get up there today. But if I got a little heads up, I could take off. So yeah. It's not a big deal.
I'm gonna plan it, but like the last road trip, it was like 8 days. Like this one coming up, I'm gonna do like 2 weeks.
Oh wow!
It's gonna be a lot more driving and a lot more shit. So, yeah, okay. I want to make a big W across the whole country. I want to go into California, like Northern Cali, and then drive south into like Arizona, New Mexico, and then pop up above Texas, hit Tulsa, and then go back down the other side of Texas down into New Orleans, and then hit like Georgia, the Carolinas, then back up.
So yeah, that'd be nice.
Probably about 3,000 miles at least, something like that.
Yeah, that'll be a nice trip. Sure would.
Yeah.
But if we get to New York, we'll definitely hit you up.
Yo, hit me up. Well, you both have my phone number, so
hit me up.
I'm pretty flexible. I have vacation and sick days, and my boss is cool as shit. So even if you come like on during like the week or something like that, just give me like a couple of days advance. I'll bang out and I'll be like, listen, I'm not coming in. And he'll be like, all right, don't worry about it. And we'll hang out. We'll do shit.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. We'll
some real Brooklyn, New York pizza.
Yeah. We can do that.
Yeah.
Me some pizza, brother.
Yeah. Me too.
Bring you some real deal shit.
Yeah. We want to try it. Well, it's good talking, Jimmy.
Dude,
I gotta head back. I'm on call. I gotta head back to work. So
100%. Yo, thank you both for your time. This was awesome and nice to almost technically meet you.
Yeah. Same here.
Man.
They was making fun. My kids were making fun of me because I had a flip phone like 4 years ago, and I'm like, I don't need all this. Then I broke my phone yesterday, and I thought I was dying because I couldn't get in my bank.
Yeah. No, you need it now. You need it.
Yeah. But man, thanks for doing this. Thanks for hitting us up and doing this with us.
100%. Like I said, thank you for your time. And this was crazy for me. I never thought I would be sitting here bullshitting with you two guys. You two kids.
Tell your daughter we said hello.
Yeah.
I absolutely will.
Oh, good talking to you, bro. Thank you. Brother. Take care, bro.
Later, guys.
Bye.